Greetings from brisk Boston on the morning of the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference. I'm SBJ senior writer Joe Lemire, and like Abe Madcor, I will be on site and look forward to seeing many of you there in the halls of the Convention Center. It is always a strong program of speakers and represents a notable growth in the amount of business analytics content and not just on-field performance analytics. Sloan follows an event held yesterday by WISE, the Women in Sports and Events, that by all accounts had terrific speakers and content all day, and for the first time, Sloan will be followed by the National High School Sports Analytics Summit, which I'm eager to check out and see the next generation in attendance. In what I presume is a first for the SBJ Morning Buzzcast, the lead news item is of a woman athlete declaring that she will leave school early for a professional draft. Iowa's Caitlin Clark, the all-time women's college basketball scoring leader, who is just 17 points behind Pete Maravich's all-time NCAA points mark, will forego her final year of eligibility and enter the WNBA draft. She made the announcement on social media, noting that this season is far from over, but that it would be her last at Iowa. This is already her fourth season as a starter for the Hawkeyes. It's worth noting she has more than 1,000 assists to go along with her 3,650 points. But she could have extended her stay in Iowa City because of the NCAA provision extending eligibility in the wake of the COVID pandemic. It's hard to imagine she won't be among the very top picks. And ESPN's mock WNBA draft does project her to go number one overall to the Indiana Fever. And this does seem like the logical next step in her career. Certainly she has done well for herself with name, image, and likeness deals, and one can only imagine that many of those will continue with her to the pros. We learned a bit more about NASCAR's media presence yesterday. Its Netflix docuseries, Full Speed, a five-part look at the 2023 Cup Series playoffs, has received positive feedback and cracked the streaming giant's top 10 during its first week of release. And now we know NASCAR Holdings spent well into the seven figures, three sources told our Adam Stern, with one ballparking it as more than $5 million. Those payments went to the Words and Pictures production studio and to Netflix. It's an interesting behind-the-scenes look into the business side of this increasingly popular genre that Netflix is championing, with Formula One, NASCAR, the PGA Tour, and the major players in tennis, the ATP, WTA, and the Grand Slam tournaments. There's a cost associated with these projects when organizing bodies officially sanction these docuseries and have input on the creative process, but it seems to be a very worthwhile investment in fan engagement. Quite clearly, F1's drive to survive is the single most critical factor in the sport's growing popularity in the U.S. NASCAR not only saw strong reach domestically, but it's worth noting it made Netflix top 10 list in about 20 other countries, Stern reported. That's helpful global exposure that NASCAR can't always get and is the reverse global reach of F1, which, of course, is gigantic abroad, but until recently had a small presence in the U.S. That buzz for NASCAR is meaningful. Last weekend's AmBetter Health 400 in Atlanta saw its TV ratings up more than 5% over a year ago. Of course, that was also buoyed by an epic finish. But that's also a better apples-to-apples TV ratings comparison to the Daytona 500, which was marred by rain and not run until a Monday. Furthermore, Daniel Suarez's victory in Atlanta has boosted his Q rating and by extension NASCAR's. For example, during Pitbull's Wednesday night concert in Nashville, he praised Suarez as a fighter and an underdog before bringing him on stage to celebrate. Pitbull is a co-owner of Suarez's racing team Trackhouse, which he also used as the name for his last album title. Suarez's appearance at the Pitbull concert was picked up by a number of non-motorsports endemic publications, further extending the reach of NASCAR. Also of note, The Athletic's Andrew Marchand reported that legendary driver Dale Earnhardt Jr. is leaving NBC to join the broadcast crews of Amazon Prime Video and Warner Brothers Discovery Sports. That brings instant credibility to their coverage when it starts with the new media deal in 2025. Dale Jr. had been with NBC since retiring from competition in 2018. NASCAR's Cup Series returned to action on Sunday in Las Vegas for the Pennzoil 400, presented by Jiffy Lube, and it will air on Fox. The man who's been described as golf's Yeti or the Loch Ness Monster is back in action in a few hours, ending an 11-year hiatus. Anthony Kim, who once ranked high as sixth in the world, not only disappeared from the sport following some injuries in 2012, but he also left all public life. Now he's back, with that return having been teased in videos on LIV Golf channels all week. He will tee off at the LIV Golf League tournament in Saudi Arabia and will compete on the LIV Tour as a wild card all season. In that league-posted video, he said, 11 years off is a long time, but I feel like I was blessed with a little bit of talent and a little hard work and go a long way, so I'm expecting good results. As for what he's been up to for more than a decade, Kim only said, I'll tell my story when it's the right time, but right now I'm focused on golf. The charismatic golfer showed his trademark spirit in a video posted of his first hole tee shot in Thursday's Pro-Am. The camera didn't follow where the ball landed, but Kim could be seen using body language to will it in a different direction than it went. He then asked for a mulligan, making him instantly relatable to all of us. New Pac-12 Commissioner Teresa Gold met with the media for the first time in her new role and shared a few newsy updates. Her contract is for 2 years, which is the duration of the conference's NCAA-allotted grace period to rebuild its membership and schedule. And for now, of course, it's really just a Pac-2 consisting of Oregon State and Washington State. Additionally, there's no update on the league's football TV deal for the fall 2024 season, but there was confirmation that the Pac-12 network would remain in operation and that the Pac-12 would still be called the Pac-12, with Gold saying, "We're the Pac-12 conference and we're going to be the Pac-12 conference. That brand means something on the West Coast and to our fan bases. We'll continue to own the name, logo, and intellectual property." Thursday saw a pair of Olympic preparation milestones. First, in Paris, French President Emmanuel Macron inaugurated the Olympic Village and officially handed over the keys to Olympic organizers. The Paris 2024 Summer Games begin in 147 days. Also on Thursday, the Salt Lake City, Utah Committee officially submitted its bid packet to host the 2034 Winter Games. They commemorated the moment with five outstretched hands collectively clicking a mouse to send the email. Not quite as dramatic as the flourish of a pen signing a document, but in this modern day, maybe next time DocuSign can step in as a sponsor. The submission is seen as a formality as the IOC already selected Salt Lake City as the preferred host. Our Rachel Axon explains that the paperwork sent today answered 43 questions about the vision for the games, everything from planned legacy, financial information, site plans, and sustainability studies. That's all for me today. Abe will be back in the Buzzcast saddle on Monday. Once again, looking forward to seeing many of you at Sloan. And for everyone else, have a great weekend.